Good afternoon, and welcome to episode 4 of Effingham Talks. I am Tommy Morgan, and I'm joined by my co-host Frank Norris. We are broadcasting from gorgeous Stillwell Pines event venue located just outside of Springfield, Georgia. If you are looking for a venue for your next event, visit their website at www.stillwellpines.com, go to their Facebook page, Stillwell Pines Event Venue, or give them a call at 912-665-2631 for a personal tour of the grounds. Today's guests are Effingham County Commissioner Forrest Floyd, Jen Baldwin, Effingham County Events Coordinator, Liz Quarterman, Manna House Food and Pantry Thrift Operations Manager, and Mr. Andy Hudson, owner of Metalclad Industries. Thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you.
Our first guest is District 1 Effingham County Commissioner Forrest Floyd. Commissioner Floyd, glad you could join us today.
Appreciate it.
Can you tell us a little about yourself to familiarize our audience?
Sure. I'm 63 years old. I've raised both my kids up here in Effingham and have a grandkid that's going to school up here now. Worked 32 years with Georgia Power Company. Used to be Savannah Electric. Served 21 years in the Georgia Air National Guard, and I'm currently retired. I've had several businesses from real estate. I was in the self-storage business for about 21 years. Probably one of the oddest little businesses I had a vehicle maintenance business whenever I was in my 20s, and that's what got me started buying real estate. I always had my steady job, and then I always had something going on the side, so I was always kind of hustling out there. But I'm kicked back. My only job right now is this commission job.
So you like to stay busy?
I do.
Well, I want to thank you for your service to the country.
I appreciate that.
With the Guard. Thank you. Commissioner Floyd, what inspired you to run for county commissioner?
Like most people that are politicians, they don't ever aspire. Whenever King Finishing Company poisoned the Ogeechee River, that just struck a nerve with me. And I'd considered running before that, but when I saw that nobody at the county level seemed to be taking an interest, I decided to step up and run. Now, I don't think that I did anything other than help shine some attention on it. Once I got elected and got up to like the Georgia, the day when we go up there on our retreat, I spoke with the EPD director and they were working on it, but that was more of a state issue. But I just felt like nobody was giving that any attention, and I just decided to throw my ring in the hat. I grew up fishing and skiing on the Ogeechee River, and it just struck me wrong, and here I am 4 terms later.
So, as somebody who grew up on the Ogeechee, I want to tell you thank you. That's been one of the most heartbreaking things I've seen.
I mean, it was terrible. I had friends. I mean, it was a mess. I was going to the Ogeechee River Keepers or on that. Nobody from the county was showing up. The whoever was representing at that time wasn't at any of those meetings. I mean, I just saw absolutely nothing from the county, and it just disturbed me.
So do you still attend those meetings?
No.
Okay.
No, Ogeechee River's clean. Everybody's happy.
Good.
People catching fish.
And how long have you lived in Effingham County?
A little over 30 years. I moved up here when my daughter was about 2 years old, so about 33 years. Now, I did leave the county for a short period of time. When I started my self-storage business, it was actually over in Bloomingdale, Georgia. And again, I was in the Guard, working at the power company, and then trying to start that business, and things got tight when I first started that business. I actually had to take my family and move into that business for 4 years until it got up off the ground, and then come back to Effingham County, but I've been here ever since.
Yeah.
Lived from one end of my district to the other. I lived in Royal Oaks for a while. I lived at Honey Ridge, and now I'm back on the south end, so I know my district pretty well.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you, what qualities or experience in the military helped you prepare for your role as commissioner?
You know, the canned answer would be leadership, but I think the thing with the military is, and I'm going to refer back to like at basic, they take people from all over the country, just like what we're experiencing now. They throw you together, you have a common goal or mission, and you have to work together to reach, to complete that mission.
Yeah.
And we're kind of the same thing here. We have all these diversified people, different people moving into Effingham County from all over the country now. And we have whatever the issue is, and we have the 5 commissioners that make decisions and our chairman. And we've got to find some common ground and figure out a way to solve that problem. So I think it's that, you know, having to learn to deal with the different ideas and different thoughts. Everybody's got different opinions out here, and nobody's ever happy. But if you can find common ground, you can usually find a way to settle the issue.
Well, y'all seem to do that.
I think we've done a great job. We've got a good commission. We work together very well. I mean, a lot of people think we're all kin and Daryl Lamb, but not.
Right.
We all just get along. I don't get along with whoever. If I can have a sit-down conversation with most people, we can find common ground.
Right.
That's the toughest part, I think, is getting through all that.
Well, what is one of the biggest challenges you see for the county with trying to improve infrastructure and maintain the current pace of development?
Well, that's one of our biggest challenges right now. The biggest challenge is probably money and time. Everybody wants everything right now, but everything comes with a cost. My biggest gripe used to be the ash roads. Well, we got T-SPLOS passed. We got those ash roads fixed. I never get a call about an ash road. Well, now it's traffic. We're doing everything we can do. We're building, you know, the parkway's taking about 15 years to get to this point. It's going to open up in the next year. I think that's going to relieve a lot of traffic. Roundabouts, as much as people hate them, the design of a roundabout is to keep traffic flowing safely.
Yes.
Now, you know, you look at Hodgeville Road between Colicomi, Goshen, all those intersections, that's where the tie-ups are. Once we get those roundabouts in, you're still not going to pour out of the county at 8 o'clock in the morning, but it's going to flow. The same thing in the afternoon. That's probably our biggest challenge is, you know, getting these projects done. A lot of them are in the design stages. They're all moving forward, but it just takes time, and people want it now, and that's you can't explain. By the time you go from the idea to concept to design to engineering to requiring, getting the required right of way, and then going out for bid, it's got to be transparent all the way through. You know,
yeah.
It's just people just don't understand. They want it now, and we're going as hard as we can, but. Just like some of the paving that we did, a lot of the paving, repaving and road work was in District 1. Those two storms set us back a month. Well, now we're going into the winter season. They don't pave once the temperature gets down to a certain degree, or, you know, it drops below a certain.
Right.
They may get in and do it here and there, but once you get down to the 50 degree range and below, they don't pave.
Yeah.
So that's going to shut us down for spring. So all the projects that we had slated to pave this spring, they're probably not all going to get complete before the end of the year, but they'll be the first ones that come online
right
next year when they start paving by.
Right.
But it's a challenge, I can promise you.
Yeah, I bet. Now, the county commission and the county manager, all of y'all do a great job keeping the millage rate down. Can you explain how the county currently keeps it minimal for the citizens?
Well, everybody's fussing about the taxes, but nobody believes this, but the taxes in Effingham County, as far as the maintenance and operations, are the lowest in the coastal empire. We're at 5.596 right now. Bryan County's at 6.6, Glenn's at 7.1, Chatham's at 10.5. I don't,
wow.
You know, it's
almost double.
Yeah, and we have we've reduced property taxes by 26% for M&O in the last 4 years, from 7.5 mills to 5.596 mills. Now, a lot of that, people fuss about these warehouses, are industry. I get it. But you need a diversified revenue stream to get all this stuff that people want, from roads to rec to whatever it is. It costs money. Nothing's free. Industry growth in the past 5 years has added $1.9 billion taxable dollars to the budget. Or not the budget, to the to the digest. 12.5 million in revenue goes to the schools and 8 million to the county annually because of these warehouses. All this talk the warehouses aren't paying, they pay.
Yeah.
They pay. And now that includes, you know, the power company, paper mill, whatever is industrial out there, they are paying their share. And it's, I forget what the percentage is exactly, but the revenue is equivalent of 8,900 homes. That's almost 9,000 homes. Now, people fuss about traffic. You put another 9,000 homes to generate that same amount of revenue.
Yeah.
Figure three cars per home. You got some traffic problems. Something else I want to mention on traffic. I had a study done for the sheriff's department. People fussing about the trucks. Well, first, let me say this. It's a public road. Trucks pay taxes. They pay fuel taxes. They got a right to use the road if it's a truck route.
Right.
Truck routes, trucks on county roads, I understand that's a problem. We're trying to address it. That's a law enforcement problem. But that study done from January 1st of 23 to December of 23, there were 47 tractor-trailer accidents versus car and pickup was over 1,000. 5% of the crashes are commercial vehicles. 95% of all accidents in this county are passenger cars. People hauling ass, trying to get wherever to go and in a hurry, mad, trying to get around a truck or get around whoever. But right. it's your mom and pop running up down the road is causing these accidents, not the trucks. So that's, I think that's something important to point out. And that's not a made up figure. That's something I got from the sheriff's department.
And to have so many of the commercial vehicles on the road, that's a small percentage.
Very small percentage.
Amazing.
They're professional drivers. They're aggravating. I don't like to get behind them.
Yeah,
most aggravating thing is to get two of them side by side on 21.
Right.
But again, you know, what are you going to do?
Exactly.
I'm not going to try to blow past them in the median.
Exactly.
I get it. I understand it's an aggravation, but that's a driver issue. That's a law enforcement issue.
Right.
I agree. Pull them over and give them a ticket. Whatever.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's where I'm at on that. What else?
You know, when it comes to rezoning, can you tell us the steps from beginning to end that an individual would have to go through to get property rezoned? I mean, where does it start?
I'm going to keep it real basic. The number one, we don't go and solicit anybody to rezone their property. We don't go looking for warehouses. We don't go looking for subdivisions. You as a property owner have the right to utilize your property as you see fit within the law, period.
Yes.
It's yours. But all your friends and neighbors have opinions about that.
Right.
So basically, you have a piece of property. And what's happened in Effingham County, all this was farmland or rural 50 years ago. I remember Goshen Road was a dirt road. I mean, I remember all these roads were dirt roads. Farmer John has 100 acres and has four kids. He's operated that farm. Four kids grow up. He sent them to school. They've all moved away. He dies. He leaves his four kids. That's an asset. That's their inheritance. What can we do with it? Well, I don't want a farm. None of them want a farm. So they typically decide to sell. Well, how are you going to monetize that asset? Well, you're going to go figure out what's the best thing you can do, to highest price you can get for your property.
Right.
There ain't nobody beating down the door to be a farmer anymore. Otherwise, people be calling and raising hell at me about tractors on the roads. But I don't get any of that. it's people fussing about developments. But anybody in that position is going to pretty much do what's been happening. They're going to look for the highest value of that property. They put it out there on the market for sale. Or whatever. Somebody's going to buy it. And anybody can buy it. The people that don't want it to change, they should go buy that property.
Exactly.
That way, if they like looking at those trees,
they can look at them.
They can look at them all day long.
Yeah.
But that individual has the right to sell that property, and the new owner has the right to use it as they see fit. Now, so going back to your question, so I bought this 25 acres, and I think I want to cut it up and put some houses on it. Well, I go make an appointment. You go to the developmental services and you sit down with them and say, this is what I like to do. And they step you through the process of, well, you can't put a warehouse there. You can't do this, can't do that, can't have a business because it's on just a county road. Whatever the reasoning is, which you can cut it up and sell some lots. Yeah. So we go down that process. And so they petition, they fill out the paperwork, goes before the planning board. Planning board is made up of people that the commission appoints, and they're just citizens. I don't even know if those guys are paid, but they sit and listen to whatever it is that individual wants to do with the property, and they make a recommendation. If it's something they feel like is out of line, they'll turn it down, or if it's something that they feel like, hey, they're checking all the boxes, it'll go forward. Then it comes to us. But they have public hearings at the planning board, so we kind of know what people's gripes are. There was one of your questions. Or somebody said, well, how can it change from the planning board to the commission? Well, the petitioner will hear, well, here's the arguments. They want the driveway moved, or they don't like the density, or We want buffers or fence or whatever. So when it comes to us, they've made those corrections to address the issues of whoever spoke negatively at the planning board. So that's how the it can change between the planning board and the commission to make us vote in a different way. This is the most contentious thing that we deal with in this job. I've lost friends over these issues. I don't make decisions based on emotion. I believe in property rights. I believe we've got a set of rules. And if it's not not absolutely detrimental to the neighbors, there's no reason for me not to support it, in my opinion.
Right.
People fuss about the traffic. I get it. We're doing the best we can with that. But traffic is an inconvenience. The right to use your property is exactly that. It's your right. And
I think that's so discouraging when people want to tell other people what they can and can't do.
Oh, it's every day. And these people, a great story. I had a lady call me not long ago. Some property was going to be rezoned. It was like 100 acres. And she said, her story was, I grew up over here, and my kids have been hunting on that land and riding four-wheelers and blah, blah, blah. She's been trespassing. That ain't her land.
We'll buy it if she wants.
Well, or buy it. That's exactly right. Buy it. And then you look on her Facebook page, and it's got the, don't tread on me.
Yeah.
But she's exactly doing that, trying to tell the neighbor what they can do with her property. They can't control it. Buy it.
Yeah.
But I understand. People's sick of people moving here. I brought some other numbers here I want to share. People's moving in this county from all over the world. It isn't just, it used to be Chatham County. I got some numbers from the school system. Oh, that's on my phone. 252 students moved here from Chatham County this past school year. But there are kids moving here from all across the country and all over the world. It is unbelievable. I don't know how the teachers are addressing some of the languages that the people coming in here. But Chatham County, we had 252, Bryan County, 42, Bullock County, 32. But I mean, literally all over the state, people are moving here. I don't know if it's with the military, I don't know if it's Gulfstream, I don't know. But they are moving into Effingham County. Same way with the states. The most came from South Carolina, Florida, North Carolina, New York, California, New Jersey, Alabama, Texas, Arizona. During the pandemic, we had a lot of people moving here from the states that had closed their schools down. We had a huge influx during the pandemic from like Michigan and Ohio, up in those areas where they closed the schools. Yeah. What was your question? I forgot
I think you covered it.
We're talking about the rezoning. So anyway, it comes down to basically looking at what you want, if it checks the boxes, and then weighing it out how it's going to be detrimental. I mean, just the fact, most people get up there and most people just don't want it. They don't want things to change. I get it. The loudest people hadn't been here 5 years. They moved here from wherever.
It seems like it. Yeah.
And they don't like the fact that the piece of property next to them is getting changed, but yet they came in, bought a piece of property, cut it up into three lots, sold off two of them, kept one. This gentleman's just doing the same thing you're doing. You know what I mean? It's
Craig Johnson has a saying to go with that, and it is, it's the first time I ever heard it was from him. People want to move here, and then they want to shut the gate behind them.
Oh, yeah.
It's okay for me to move here, but I don't want you to move here.
Well, I've said this in numerous meetings. The only way to control property is to own it.
Right.
Everything's going to change. I was raised in what's now Port Wentworth. If anybody knows where the corner of Highway 21 and Highway 30 is, there's one piece of vacant land sitting there. That's where I was raised. That was a little farm. We had cows, chickens.
Wow.
Everything's built up around us. City Hall's right across the street, CBS, there's a car wash. Port Wentworth's exploded all around us. If you drive down Highway 30 now, it's all being bulldozed and made into townhomes. Highway 30 was our dirt road coming into our property. I watched them build Highway 30, I watched them build I-95, and I watched them build Highway 21. Wow. So I know all about change, And I get it. I don't like it, but it's coming.
Well, what's one of your biggest accomplishments as commissioner?
I think one of them, when I first got elected, found out that a lot of roads, during the downturn back after, I guess, 9/11, a lot of developers and builders went belly up. So there was a lot of just neighborhoods sitting here. Those roads did not get turned over to the county. And then some developers just never went through the paperwork, and for whatever reason back then, the county didn't follow up and ensure those roads were taken over. In my district particularly, Auriga Farms, until I guess about 8 years ago, wasn't even county owned. We couldn't, so if we don't own it, we can't do any, you pay your taxes and everything, but we can't legally go on private property and work.
Yeah.
So I think before I got elected, there wasn't a push for that, but that was one of my big pushes, because there was a, seemed to be a lot of roads over in my district that they weren't county owned, people paying taxes, but they wanted the roads fixed, but legally we couldn't do it. So we had to go through the process of taking those roads so that we could, you know, service those roads
right.
for folks.
And let me, what is the most, what have you enjoyed most about being a commissioner, and what have you enjoyed the least?
Probably the most is just, you know, helping people. I've served in the military, and I'm doing this. And when I lived over there with my business, I lived in Bloomingdale a short period of time. I was on their planning and zoning board. But most people just don't know who to call or who to contact to get whatever their issue is fixed. And I just can direct them to who they need to speak with, and usually can have it resolved. And I like being able to help. And it's that simple. As far as the least, all the misconceptions, crap on social media that's a lie. People just don't
know. Yeah.
We held several town hall meetings. You know, the hardest thing is getting information out. We're active on social media with the county, but even then you got the other side spewing crap that's not true. And it's hard to counteract that. We had some town hall meetings last year.
And they were very informative. I wish
we shared
the county
everything.
Would have attended those.
Well, I think we're going to do more, but nobody showed up.
No, I know.
They raised Cain.
Handful every time.
They just stand back and sling mud, but they don't have a clue, because they don't come to the meeting, they don't call me or call us, and they don't show up for any of these presentations to try to share this information.
Yeah, and Tim Callanan did a wonderful job putting those together.
Oh, he did. Tim's excellent county manager. He's been great for us. That's probably what I enjoy the least is dealing with the social media aspect, but I don't. I just let it go. I mean, I just look at it and realize it's lack of knowledge. They don't know. I mean, but again, I'm a phone call away, email away, and we can explain just about any decision we make. I don't have any regrets as far as that.
What piece of advice would you give someone that might consider running for office in the future?
Careful what you ask for. You just might get it. I don't know. Like I said, it's kind of like stepping into the ring, you know. You just take it as it comes. I don't really have any advice. Just it's funny, I met one of the opponents that ran against me in the primary, and I asked him, I said, what in the world possessed you to do this? He goes, well, I just had some free time. And I was like, buddy, I told him, I said, Bo, you don't know what you get into if you win this. I said, good luck, you know. So kind of leave it at that.
Well, Commissioner Floyd, thank you again for your service to the country, and thank you for all that you do for the county. And thank you for coming on the show.
Well, I appreciate it. I've enjoyed it,
sir.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Now we have Jen Baldwin. Jen is the Effingham County Events Coordinator. Jen, thank you so much for being here. If you would, tell us a little about yourself and your responsibilities as the Events Coordinator.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me. My responsibilities as of right now is just kind of bringing the community together through events, whatever that may look like. So, just going through, I've done a couple events already. I came in July. I've done the fishing rodeo, which brought in about 50 kids plus their parents, so maybe 100 or so people.
Yeah.
And then we did the trunk or treat, brought in, if I had to guesstimate, I don't know, about 400 people, and apparently that was the most that has come to that. So I think bringing the community together is honestly the most important.
What brought the county to make the decision to create that position?
I think kind of piggybacking off of what Forrest said, the community just keeps growing. Yeah. And in that, more kids, more parents, and more things that need to be done or want to be done.
Yeah.
Whatever those events are. And it's more of a little bit for everyone, right? If that is maybe doing a 5K or cycling, that's a huge cycling community, so maybe something like that. And just moving outside of, maybe not that I don't love all sports, because I do, but moving outside of that and doing more than just the sports.
Yeah, you're thinking outside the box.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. What previous experience do you have in coordinating social events?
So my background is in restaurant management. So I've been general manager of multiple restaurants. Mm-hmm. The most recent one, I was in North Carolina for 16 years, and I worked at one restaurant that was very close to a large school there. And so we would work in tandem. I would do alumni parties, graduation parties, birthday parties, and doing that with a large community in that.
Yeah.
And bringing hundreds of people together, making sure everything ran smooth. That's kind of where my background is. Couple that with my love of just being with people and seeing the kids happy too. I mean, that's just like cherry on top. So.
Yeah. What interested you most about the position to inspire you to apply for it?
So, being new to Effingham County and in Georgia, I haven't even been here a year yet.
Wow.
I really wanted to put myself into a community that I had no knowledge of, honestly. And growing up in rural New York, coming here, I'm like, this is almost the same, essentially. My graduating class was 80 kids. Like, so school districts are much bigger, but the community is kind of the same. And I really wanted to kind of put my mark and make a difference in any way I could.
Is there a certain number of events the county's planning on hosting a month or a year? Do y'all have a number, give or take?
If I had to guess, we're still kind of working out 2025.
Mm-hmm.
My hope would be at least every other month would be something, if not more.
Okay.
That's my hope.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
And more is better. But
exactly.
Also, kind of, again, piggybacking off of Forrest, money, contributions, and all of that. So that also always plays a part in that.
Well, can you give us some events that are coming up?
Absolutely. So we have, Lunch with Santa, which is December 14th, 11 to 1 at 119 South. So I will be, my part in that, I'm actually going to be putting together a walk through almost Holiday Village, taking parts of plywood and breaking them down, making them little houses.
Wow.
I'm also asking other people to contribute as well. Whoever wants to, almost make it a competition, and I'll throw my stuff in there too, not as part of the competition, but literally make it a walkthrough village. And that's really something that I've envisioned and hope that will come to life.
Are you getting some good feedback on it, some good participation so far?
So far, so good. Like, I got a lot of good participation from Trunk or Treat, so I'm reaching out to some of those people, and hopefully we'll get some new people for this too. And I keep meeting new people throughout the community and people that have been here forever, and I love that. And they kind of keep directing me to places where I should talk to or people I should talk to. So it's been fantastic.
Yeah, and I think, you know, with you hosting those events, I think people will come.
Yeah, that's my hope.
Yeah, you just keep putting them out there. They're going to show up.
Yep.
Do you take suggestions for events?
I will always take
the
suggestions.
Community?
Absolutely. Yeah. I need to get to know who I'm working with.
Yeah.
You know, please email me, jbaldwin@effinghamcounty.org. I'm always up for suggestions.
Well, that was going to be my next question. How would you?
Yeah, absolutely. Email.
Doing that.
Yeah.
What do you enjoy most about being the events coordinator for the county?
It's probably two things. Obviously, I love seeing the kids, like, and getting to see them outside and kind of, again, outside the sports aspect of it, and just seeing them to run and play and do some, maybe something creative or something like a rock wall, or get to, you know, take pictures with their parents because there's tons of pumpkins everywhere, like cute stuff like that. But I also love the creative aspect for it for myself, which, and I get to bring the community into that, and I get to be a little creative as well and coming up with the ideas to hopefully for the kids and the parents to really love what I'm doing. That's what I love about it, and seeing their faces light up.
Okay. At the moment, are there any things you're doing for the senior citizens possibly?
Not directly in this moment. Mm-hmm. I know that we're kind of working with them, hopefully coming up with potentially them coming to do part of the Lunch with Santa, mm-hmm. I think, part of that. But I know that we have talked about doing stuff in the very near future with them. So that's definitely something on my radar.
And are there any events that you could share with us that are new, that are in development?
I guess, I don't know if development so per se, but I have ideas for, I literally have lists of all the things. Like I said, I want to do a cycling event, a biking event. I want to do potentially something for Valentine's Day at the Senior Center.
Yeah.
I don't want to overpromise anything.
Right.
But these are the ideas I do have.
Yeah.
I want to do a field day with the navigators. I want to do something for everyone at some point. So that's kind of our ideas and getting our 2025 calendar
together. That's very exciting. We look forward to seeing all that.
Thank you. I'm excited to do it.
Yeah. Well, Jen, thank you so much for joining us on the show. We look forward to seeing the future events for the county.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for all you do.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Ms. Liz Quarterman, thank you so much for coming out to beautiful Stillwell Pines. I know talking out there to you this a while ago, you said at your church and the Manor House may have some banquets coming up next year. I hope y'all consider Stillwell Pines.
Yes.
As you can see, it's very beautiful out here. I know it can make a lot of memories. This place. So let's talk about the Manor House. What is it that you do there? And maybe just kind of tell everybody what the Manor House is if they don't know what it is.
Yes. Well, I'm the operations manager there. I've been there starting my 12th year. I'm a retired nurse. I'll give you a little bit of my background because it's important to see how God has brought me full circle.
Yes, ma'am.
And why I'm there. So I grew up a family of 11. 12 children. Actually, there were 13 of us, and there were 12 children. 8 survived into adulthood. Uneducated parents, 6th grade, 7th grade education, very poor. My mom was not raised by a mother. She was raised by a grandfather who lived with us. And like I said, being without food or a little bit of food was always there. I mean, we would rush to the table so that we could each get something to eat. Seeing the last biscuit or the last piece of chicken on the table and wanting to go for it, but not getting it because we knew someone else was probably more hungry than we were with those 8 children. The rule of thumb at my home was dad worked, dad got the last biscuit, he got last whatever. And I can tell you my mother was very good at making gravy, tomato gravy, potato gravy, I mean any kind of gravy that you can come up with to go a long way for that many people. And I say all that to you because it took people taking an interest in the children in the home to inspire us to do bigger things, to not get trapped in the situation of not having clothing to wear, not knowing where your next meal is coming from, no Christmases, that type of thing. And so there were organizations, there were churches, and I came to Christ when I was 5 years old. I was sorry, 7 years old, and that put me in contact with a lot of loving people. School system, I love the school system so very much because every year throughout my high school years, from first grade to high school and finishing, I had a teacher that cared enough about me to help me get along better, to make good choices, educational choices. And that inspired me. You know, I had people helping me, helping my family all my life. So I wanted to help people. So I went on to nursing school, became a nurse, trauma nurse. I love helping people, and that's why I stay there. And then 12 years ago, like I said, Miss Rachel Jackson, some of you know her. Miss Rachel's known by a lot of people here. I was looking for some part-time work. I left nursing in 2004. We moved out here in 2006 from Chatham County. I don't brag about that too much, but I do love Effingham County. But I came out here and looked for a part-time job, and Miss Rachel, who was a member of our church, said, "Hey, you want 20 hours a week? I can give it to you." And I teased Miss Rachel to the day. I said, "That's the biggest lie you ever told me, because that 20 hours went into 60 hours in 2 weeks." But anyway, I fell in love with the Manor House. Manor House is a food pantry thrift store. It's been around for 30 years. I am constantly amazed that people do not even know we exist. We're located at 1210 Patriot Drive across from the Y. We've been there longer than the Y, but we tell everybody that because everybody knows where the Y is. But once again, we're there. We make up 120 volunteers. And when I say that, we're talking about Effingham County residents. And 80% of them are senior citizens. 80% of these people are, I'm 71, and I'm like on the youngest of that group of 70 and above. They have committed their lives to volunteering, to serve, and have a purpose in their last stages. They will tell you they're retired, but they work very, very hard there. So 120 volunteers come to Manor House week after week. Let me back up just a second here. Manor House is a food pantry that is funded by its thrift store, where people donate household goods, clothing, linens, all kinds of things. I think the only thing we haven't had is a car yet. But anyway, we've had lots of things donated. Those things are determined as whether there's any value inside our thrift store. Is there any value that will help someone else, meet somebody else's needs? So those donations come in. We merchandise those donations. They go into the thrift store, or they go into recycling, or they go into homes. Now, a lot of people think, well, you're selling everything, but that's not, that's like one of those things that people say, I don't want to call it a lie, but it's untruth, that they say about everything comes to the Manor House and then it's not given away. We have about, I would say about 20% of the stuff that's donated us is given away to homes. Those referrals come in from schools. They come in from neighbors, they come in from churches, from the community, for people who have needs. I am a very fast talker. I apologize for that. So I may run on a little bit. But anyway, so the Manor House, once again, is a food pantry that has a thrift store that funds it. The volunteers are its greatest resource because they could be doing anything else. They do not get paid. You know, those people are there volunteering their time, their lives, and their energy for a purpose to help someone else. And that, it just motivates me so much, because I'm part of something bigger than what Liz Quarterman is, or a building, or food, or the donations that come in. We get to see the awesomeness of individuals that are willing to help people. There's nothing more fulfilling than that. Once again, 30-year ministry that helps other people, but has also created an environment of many resources. We get our support, once again, through our sales of the thrift store, donations from schools. I want to brag on our school system. Last year, they donated 60,000 pounds of collected food and $13,000 in cash to us to purchase food. This year, the schools donated 20-something thousand pounds of food and, I'm sorry, 17,000, sorry. 17,000 pounds of food and $23,000 to buy food with. Now, the reason I'm saying that, Manor House has buying powers with Feeding America, or America's Second Harvest. For every dollar that is donated to the Manor House, or for every dollar that is made from a purchase from things donated to the Manor House, we can buy 10 pounds of food. So think about how far that money can go. Between the food and the money that Effingham County School Systems donated to Manor House this year, we can purchase 197,000 pounds of food. Last year, in 2023, Manor House distributed over 1.3 million pounds of food. That's a lot of food.
Right.
A lot of food. A lot of families. When I came to work at Manor House 12 years ago, we were feeding roughly 300 families a month. We were open 3 days a week. COVID hit us in 2020, and we decided, okay, what are we going to do? They said we had to shut down, but we considered ourselves essential. People needed food.
Yes.
We come together and came up with a plan that we would do a mobile food drive. We went from the 300 families a month to that first couple of weeks, 800 families. People needed food. There was no place to get it. You couldn't get toilet paper. You couldn't buy food. You couldn't buy paper towels, laundry detergents. And once again, the awesomeness of this community here, everybody came together. And this was the wealthy, the people who owned property, who had boats and cars, the people who had nothing. And that was something that we saw in Effingham County, that where people came together and they were very vulnerable. And Manor House was the place that we feel that God chose to get the food, the clothing, whatever the needs are, out to the people who were needing it. Removing all stigma of driving up in my car and saying, I need food. Can you imagine? Have you ever, I don't know if you found yourself in that position. I was there for a long, all my life, and we wanted to remove that, so we did the drive-through distribution, and people came through, they stayed in the cars, and we loaded their cars. And for the next 3 years, that's exactly what we did every week, not once a month, not twice a month, but every week they were able to come and get food from us. The COVID restrictions went away, and now we have to get back to managing those households that still need food. The 800 dropped down to about 400 at the end of 2023 when they lifted the restrictions. And then we just continued to trust God, trust our community. We've never seen an outpouring like we saw during COVID and even since then. The community, you had Verizon, you had the school system, you had all these people that were working from home that could do their jobs and still have free time, but could come and volunteer. Where did the senior citizens, what did they get told to do? Stay home, right? Well, that was our volunteer staff. That was the people that were coming out day in and day out, going through the merchandise, packing the bags, you know. And so the community came together, and that's what Manor House is all about. We see the community, one person after another, one group after another, one business after another, saying, how can we help Manor House? Still, with all of that going on during COVID, we're still an unknown entity. People have us pictured as one resource. Get food if you need food, go there. But people need clothing. People need school uniforms. People need gas cards. People need other resources that maybe we don't offer that we can connect them with. I love Effingham County. We connect people to the resources. And there are so many hundreds and thousands of resources that are out there. And our role at the Manor House is to connect people to those resources. Now, I've done a lot of talking. Y'all need to ask me some questions.
Well, thank you for that. You know, speaking of some of the volunteers that work there, there's a volunteer there that I work with on another organization, the Rainbow Girls, Miss Sandy Gibson.
Yes.
And I will tell you, she works just about as hard as anybody out there. And I know she's going to be listening to this soon. So, hey, Miss Sandy, and you know, thank you for your help out there too with the Manor House. As far as the Manor House goes, you told me something kind of remarkable out there just a minute ago, and I didn't really think about this. You said, I'm on standby 24/7, 365, because you never know when somebody might be hungry.
That is right.
And I just felt, I felt that when you told me that, because, you know, my father, you know, before he passed away, he used to always tell me, he said, and he grew up right outside of the Depression, and he told me, he says, son, he said, every man is always one bad mistake away from being in the soup line. he would tell me that.
Yeah.
And you know, hearing you say that, you know, y'all are always on standby ready to feed somebody if they go without food. And that's just anybody. I
mean, that's right.
It can happen to anybody at any time. And so what are the hours of operation? How would somebody get a hold of you, like, off hours?
Well, my telephone number, my personal phone number, is an emergency number. If you dial the Manor House, you're going to go through the recording, and it will tell you to call XYZ, and then the last thing on there is to call my telephone number. And then I'm able to take the call and see if it's something we need to address right in there. We see a lot of, you know, fires in Effingham County. because there are people here there. We see a lot of people that may be taken out of their home suddenly, male and female, not just women with children, but male and female. So the Sheriff's Department, Victim Witness, Ready to Connect, Family Connections. There's all kinds of agencies out there that are wanting to help that operate an 8-to-5 or 9-to-5 job. Well, people need hope, and they need to know, and they want to know that there's somebody out there they can count on. And as a family person that's certainly counted on many resources in my lifetime, I want to be that person. Manor House wants to be that place. Not just one person doing it, but an entity that's doing that to provide those resources that's at their need.
Right. You know, years ago, I shared a story with you, and I don't want to say it again. You know, years ago, I was in a situation where a young lady and her husband went in to have a baby in the hospital, and special, rare situation. Her ambulance fluid got into her bloodstream. And so she went into a coma, so he's home with his child, and he doesn't know how to, I mean, he's a young man, of course, and so it come to our attention there at the lodge, and of course, you know, we could pull some money up and give money out, but that's not exactly what he needed. He needed stuff for that baby. He needed formula, he needed diapers, he needed everything it took to take care of baby, plus, you know, maybe household food for himself and cleaning stuff. I called the manor house, and the manor house came through. I mean, the next day, it was boxes of food and diapers and all that stuff there. So I know how well and how fast that y'all operate, and I just want to say thank you so much for everything y'all do over there. And, you know, I mean, just God bless y'all. I mean, thank you so much for what y'all do over there.
Well, I would like to add, too, because you guys have talked a lot about community here, and I know with you, Commissioner Floyd, you mentioned the warehouses coming up. You know, when I ride around Effingham County, and I see the warehouses go up, and I see businesses go up, and I love the traffic circles, by the way. I love them. All over the county now. There you go. But these warehouses have brought in industry, and a lot of these industries carry food. You can't even imagine. I get calls weekly from these logistics centers that say, can you use 26 pallets of this? Can you use
great information?
Yeah. I don't pray for accidents, but when they do happen, I want to be the first person they call, because in 24 hours, if this food has got to be picked up, God's got a reason for that happening, because there's people out there needing food. We installed a 30-by-28 freezer 2 years ago, this November, because of the logistics that come around, because we're getting that. I can't mention any names right now, but it's weekly. We've got 97,000 T-shirts by IFED. We're getting them into our school systems here. Of course, we're getting them to other school systems in other locations. They were donated to us because when Helene happened, they had all these T-shirts sitting out in California. They heard our Facebook post about how we were there 24 hours a day helping people with food, personal care products and cleaning products and whatever they needed at that time, because people were down and out. I don't think, unless you rode around the Tri-County area, you didn't see the damage. And even in Effingham County, I think we had people out 10 days without electricity. That's a lot of food going bad, you know, lost. That's a lot of clothing that can't be washed. There's a tree on your roof, you know, a lot of different things happening. And the resources just keep coming in. I would just encourage anyone to come over there and see what we're about, because there's just not enough words to mention all the things that take place over there. The other thing I want to do, a hats off and a thank you to our churches. Manor House makes up of over 36 churches, I believe, at this time. They don't all financially give. They send volunteers. They pray for us. They do food drives for us. And anyone in this county can do a food drive for Manor House. Like I said, it's important now. You can buy the food, go to the grocery store and pay $2 a can for a can of carrots or peas or whatever. Or you can do what we call a virtual food drive, whereas you might collect money, because like I said, for every dollar, we're going to buy 10 pounds of food. And so it's great. I will say also, Boxes of Hope, that is our heart thrive in November for giving back to our community. Mm-hmm. This year we plan to do 100 boxes of hope to all the families. Right now we have an average of 800 what we call unique families. That means they come to the Manor House at least once a month. And we're making sure this year that those 800 families are going to have a Thanksgiving food, a Thanksgiving box, including the turkey and then all the trimmings. But it takes all of us. It takes our churches. It takes our businesses. It takes people just giving of themselves one way or the other. We can't all do everything, but one person can do something. And when you take that and connect the dots, things happen.
Well, we talk about, me and Tommy talk about this a lot too. You know, every organization has its strengths, right? Some have financial strength, some have resource strength, as you speak, with body counts. You know, other strengths have assets of food and stuff like that. There's different strengths. And when you tie these organizations together, you can do great things.
Right.
You know, and I've seen it many times in this community. And Effingham is probably one of the most giving counties there is.
Yes.
And so I hope we can continue that. And thank you for spearheading that. And thank you, you know, for the commissioners that we have that that do such a good job leading us through those tragedies that we face. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Andy Hudson.
Oh boy.
Ironclad Industries. it's so cool because I was just working with you this morning for y'all that don't know. Andy is our chief engineer for the lift that's going to be put into our lodge to get handicapped children and elderly people upstairs. And I was working with him this morning, and he was doing his thing this morning. He was pretty busy. Andy, we got, you know, about 10 minutes left, and I just want to, you just bring us home.
Okay. Well, first I'd like to say thank you for asking me again to come on. I must say to the three of y'all individually and collectively, Ms. Quarterman, Ms. Baldwin and Floyd, y'all do have a servant's heart. You know, it's amazing. The three of y'all definitely inspire us. You say the county commission doesn't inspire it. It really does. Y'all really have chosen to impact over impress. And for me, on the outside looking in, and I'm just gonna go backwards here. I'm gonna start with you, Miss Liz. You know, I see every Wednesday. I see around McCumber Ballpark.
Oh yeah.
Some days if I get called out early, I go through and I see where hope is not being deferred.
That's right.
It just resonates the love of our community.
Yes.
As a longtime resident of this community, and it took a village to raise me too. I kind of some of the same attributes that you have today. I commend you for. I know how you derive to them. Thank you for your service. And yes, I'm going to talk about my company just for a minute or two, but it's not really about my company. It ain't really about Andy. Well, Ms. Baldwin, so you come from rural New York.
I did.
You know, I think New York City gives New York State a bad rap. I think we got great people in New York State. And thank you for coming. I'm glad we didn't shut the gate behind.
I hope not. Yeah, and, I'm glad. I'm happy to be here. I took a beard to North Carolina for 16 years and then kept coming down. So
thanks for choosing to impact over impression. Floyd, I see you in these commissioner meetings sometimes. I don't always agree with him. And I don't always agree with the commissioners. But you know what we do? We reach across and we shake each other's hand and we find common ground for the betterment of something much bigger than us. Our beloved Effingham County. You know, I lived the American dream because of a county who doted on me and took care of me and inspired me to be who I am today. So thank you all for carrying that torch from the ones that come before. Miss Rachel Jackson,
yes.
You know, what a servant heart.
Yes.
She found a jewel in you from what I hear and what I have seen. So keep impact.
Yeah, thank you.
And Tommy, thank you for, again, inviting me.
No, glad to have you.
And Frank, of course, I wouldn't be complete without you. So, yes, I don't want to talk very much about Metal Clad Industries. It's an exciting craft. I never work. I get up in the morning, and I get to design, engineer, fab, and install some unique products along the way. I started just coming June will be my 30th anniversary. And people said, Andy, you can't do it. You have no money. And I didn't. I would look at my refrigerator. I would look inside my refrigerator. The only thing I could read was the serial number on the back. There was no food between the door and the wall. But only in America can a young person inspire to be anything they want. And in saying that, I want to talk about our young people. We got great young people.
Yes, we do.
In our community. We got great educators.
Yes.
And we've got even better school bus drivers than I think some of them in Chatham County. I got run over the other day in Chatham County. But you know what? Our school bus drivers, they see us at our worst, and they see us at our best. They do set the tone.
My mother was a school bus driver.
Okay. Well, I commend, those are our unsung heroes. They set the tone and the pace a lot of times. Me, I had two particular ones. And they not only reached out to Andy, they reached down. And they helped mold me who I am today.
Yes.
They were just as important as the academic teacher in which poured in my education. So Effingham County, you know, it's our best years lies ahead.
I mean, when
we see our Loving County wrap around, when our school system has given how many $13,000 in cash, I believe it was, and
that was last year.
And it's amazing what you see these young people. I had the opportunity the other day to be invited, and I don't play much golf. You know, I'm not athletically inclined. All I can ever play is ping pong. But you know, golf I kind of got figured out a little bit. So I got to go and enjoy a day with the Effingham County baseball team, which is my alma mater. And those young men, they got life on a string.
Yeah.
If they will only pay attention, not only to the academics in which they're being taught,
yeah,
but the ones of us who are in leadership at the moment, and we'll be in leadership for a limited time.
Right.
And I'm confident between the school system and our leadership in our county that not only America's best laid lies ahead, but Effingham County lies ahead for our young people. As I was talking to them, I was cutting up with them. They had one common denominator. None of them were defeated. They figured out what team means,
right,
what a person is not an island unto themselves. Right. And I talked to each and every one of them. Frank, Tommy, was it not about every hole?
Yes, and to all of them.
And I was inspired to speak with them because they are our future. And I like for us to remember one thing. When you hear the negativity about our young people maybe not being this or they may not be in that, you know, we need to not engage in that rhetoric.
Right.
We need to be the minority report. These are our children. It took a village to raise Andy. At my father's passing, I was 7 weeks away from turning 15. And it took a village. A school teacher drove me to my first job. And I made $2 an hour. I could drive a tractor down Main Street, Springfield, but I couldn't drive a pickup truck. I'm just saying, only in Effingham County, we are a loving community.
Yes.
And when we have our differences, it's okay to be different. America is hard. America is not easy. Our freedom of speech is a double-edged sword. When we have to sit or stand and listen to an individual talking at the top of their voice, advocating something we would spend a lifetime opposing, that's America at its best.
Right.
But you see, bridges are not built from the center. They are built from two opposing sides. And through compromising,
right,
anything can happen. I am that man from that boy that today I live the American dream. I am by far the richest man in my county. But don't look at my checking account or the home in which I live in.
Me too.
So, while much is given, much is required.
That's right.
Today, as we sit together, I would say we are an embody of people who are willing to not only reach out, but we're going to take a few more minutes and we're going to reach down.
Yeah.
And we're going to look to impact over impress. So my company is metalcladindustries.com if you want to know a little bit about me. I'm not here to promote my company. I'm here to promote my county and which made me. If you want to know something about me, go to metalcladindustries.com. We do not compete. In this great America, you do not have to compete. You have to create. Have the boldness and the courage. When everybody else is going to the left, have the boldness and the courage to go to the right and be different. Give a product that's better. I'm not the biggest engineering fabrication company in Georgia, but I'm the best. I'm the best in my industry because I was willing to cut my own tree for my own heat. I was willing to learn craft. And the man who taught me, he said, Andy, if you will learn this one day, you will write your own check. Wow. So it takes a village to raise people.
Yes, it does.
So we got great young people. That's what I'm talking about. Effingham County got great school teachers, great administration. I think Yancey Ford does a great job.
He does.
How does he handle all that? I don't know. You know, that's a tough act.
That's right.
But Effingham's best days lies ahead. And us as a nation, I think we can find common ground to build a better America. So if you want to know anything about Andy Hudson, I'm just a simple guy. And if you want something built the best, built with pride, from kitchen hoods to ventilators to chimney caps to canopies to awnings, I built canopies from a residential home all the way to Georgia Southern. I'm on the Georgia Southern football field. I'm on the Hannah Fieldhouse at Georgia Southern. And I was the little boy that come from nothing. But in this great America, anything above nothing is something. But it took a village to raise me. Never forget where you come from.
That's right.
Thank y'all for y'all impacting over in Preston.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Andy. You know, we bring you on here for the motivational speak that you do that you're so good at. And, you know, speak of that golf tournament that we were in. I was your partner.
That's right. We didn't do too bad.
No, we didn't. I think you motivated me to do good because I did better that day than I ever had. So I don't know what it is about you, but you bring the goodness out of everybody. And that day, you're right. You talked to all those high school ball players, and I know that I could watch their eyes as you were talking to them. Yeah. It made a difference in their head.
Well, victory comes in many aspects in life. My father was a World War II generational man. He served in World War II. I believe that generation went from my outhouse to outer space. But one thing one of his mentors said that inspired him was Jimmy Doolittle. He was a colonel in the U.S. Army Air Corps. And we was headed to Japan at that time, and it was undoubtful and insurmountable odds that was against America at that time. We had not won anything. We had lost many, many battles in that early part of the war. But my dad told me just one thing, and I carry it with me daily. Jimmy Doolittle told those 16 pilots and that was running those planes to that day to Japan. He said, today, victory will come, because victory in all aspects of life, victory comes to the ones of us who believe in it the most, but believes in it the longest. So victory can come to all of us if we must not let fear cripple us or doubt become our traitor.
Well, thank you, Andy. Thank you, Ms. Liz. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you for coming on. I think all of y'all had really good things to say, and I got a blessing out of it. I hope y'all got a blessing out of coming here. I hope that in the future y'all be willing to come back on and speak more about what's going on in the community. Again, thank you for your time. Thank you for coming to the beautiful Stillwell Pines. I hope y'all think this is a beautiful place as much as we do. And hope to wish y'all the best of luck in all your industries and departments. And have a great rest of the weekend, okay? Thank you.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thank you.